ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 31। नकाहुंकुरो पटित ऋतसौर ऋतस्वरारुहम् विसृज्य तस्यानुचरानुदयायुधान् अहं समस्तान् नखशस्त्रपाणिभिः दुर्दण्डयूथ अनुपथान् सहस्रशः Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart, and then threw him aside and turned towards the demon's soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him, with raised weapons, and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Narsingadev killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. Purport. Since the creation of material world, there have been two kinds of men, the Devas and the Asuras. The Devas are always faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the Asuras are always atheists who defy the supremacy of the Lord. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the atheists are extremely numerous. They are trying to prove that there is no God and that everything takes place due to combinations and permutations of material elements. Thus, the material world is becoming more and more godless, and consequently, everything is in a disturbed condition. If this continues, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will certainly take action, as he did in the case of Hiranyakashipu. Within a second, Hiranyakashipu and his followers were destroyed. And similarly, if this godless civilization continues, it will be destroyed in a second, simply by the movement of one finger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons should therefore be careful and curtail their godless civilization. They should take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement and become faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are doomed. As Hiranyakashipu was killed in a second, the godless civilization can be destroyed at any moment. So, this is the end of Hiranyakashipu in this particular verse. So, these nice pastimes in the seventh canto, where Lord Narsingha appears and kills, destroys Hiranyakashipu and all his followers. These pastimes are very wonderful. But unfortunately, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, the atheistic people, they cannot understand or appreciate. Only till the point they are destroyed. In the previous cantos, it has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam that how Hiranyakashipu appeared in this world. They are actually devotees of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, two brothers, they were Jay and Vijay in the spiritual world. They are the doorkeepers. And because they did not allow the four Kumaras who were exalted devotees of the Lord, they are like in the Brahmabhuta stage, they were cursed by the Brahmanas to become born as atheists, to become born in demoniac families. And then later, Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu comes and he pacifies both the parties, Jaya and Vijaya, as well as the doorkeepers. And he was saying actually it was his plan that these two brothers should go down to the material world so that he can fight with him. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the Lord, because he is the origin of everything, that fighting spirit is also within him. But in spiritual world, there is nobody to fight with him. Therefore, he sends his own devotees with whom he can fight. In other words, Prabhupada says that Lord, wherever he goes with his associates. So even if somebody has to fight, that has to be his associate only. It's not that he will fight with anyone. And Hiranyakashipu, as he takes birth here, he becomes such a prominent atheist that finally the Lord is attracted to fight with him. And to arouse his anger, Lord's anger, before fighting one has to be angry, Hiranyakashipu torments Prahlad, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, to the extremities. And the more he tortured Prahlad, the more the anger of Lord Narasingha was increasing. And finally, as we see in this verse, the Lord, who had many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw him aside and turned towards the demon soldiers. So, although in one sense Hiranyakashipu, who was Jay or Vijay, either of them, I don't know who's who. So, he believed in Vishnu, first of all, but still he is described as atheist. He believed that Vishnu is there, but his belief was that he is more powerful and he can kill him. So all these pages described how Hiranyakashipu was fighting. That also is part of pastime, because if the opponent knows that he is going to be defeated, then there is no enjoyment in the fighting. So it is described how Lord Narasingha, when he appeared from the pillar, he actually shrills. It's like kind of laughter, shrilling laughter. Then later, when Hiranyakashipu attacks him, he laughs very loudly. Three times he laughs. Second time he laughs, he was laughs very light. It's called attahasya. Attahasya means just like making a fearful situation in the heart of the opponent. He laughs like that, as if you're nothing. But still Hiranyakashipu, because he was empowered by Brahmaji, because he thought he can defeat. He thought, there is nothing in this three world which can defeat me. He is empowered in many ways. Therefore, he didn't care, although he was fearful in his heart. And it is described how he closed his eyes out of fear. And still, he kept attacking. He thought he can kill, and nobody can kill him. But finally, Lord Narasingha actually tears him apart. And after tearing him apart, he kills all the soldiers. Then again he laughs. In the next verse, it is described. He laughs so loudly. Actually, he roars. It's not laugh. Third time, he actually roars, inviting any other, whoever is there, can come and fight with him. In that way, he roars. He roars so loudly that all the elephants in all the forest, they started cry out of fear. They cry. Sometimes we hear the dogs crying, and it creates a fearful situation in our heart. Just imagine all the elephants, when they cry out of fear, what kind of situation will happen? So Lord Narasingha, because he was half lion, his roar was frightening to the elephants. And when he jumped, that force was so much on the earth that the earth went down and all the mountains came up. Just like, you just do like this, and this can come up when you push it like this. But Lord Narasingha, when he put his feet on the earth, it was so heavy that the mountains popped up. That was his power, but still Hiranyakashipu thought he can kill him. Although he understood that he is Vishnu, still he thought he can. That is atheistic. The illusion is that no matter what happens, I can be the enjoyer. Why I can't be the enjoyer, basically? If Vishnu is enjoyer, I can also be enjoyer. So today's class will basically focus on this atheism, whatever little I have collected, and we'll just share. Srila Prabhupada, the various places, says there are actually two types of atheists. One type of atheist is that who sees the material world as belonging to himself. Now, everybody in this world, like when I was a small boy, my parents, they wanted to buy some land to build a house. And they were discussing how the lands are so expensive and this and that. Then we would be going from one town to other town to visit our relatives. And in between two towns, there will be many, lot of land will be vacant lying. And I would tell them, why don't you take up land here? It is all ours. Nobody is here. We can take it and build our house. So that mentality is there. As soon as you see, suppose you climb a whole big mountain, and when you stand on the top of the mountain, you think, whatever you see is all is mine. That feeling comes. That whatever I see is all mine and I can enjoy. That is the way we think, being in the material world, part of the material world. So, first type of atheist, he thinks, seeing the material world as belonging to himself, and therefore, being meant for one's sense gratification. Therefore, I will enjoy. It belongs to me and I will enjoy. There is no God, no controller. He may be there, he may not be there, doesn't matter, but it is all mine and I'm going to enjoy. And declaring the non-existence of the... And another type is, they say that everything is... there is no material world and no God. That is like another kind of atheist. Everything is Maya. So do whatever you like. Denying everything, Prabhupada says. So these are the basic foundation on which the atheism is built. And to support it, to support this kind of philosophy that everything is mine and I can enjoy, then they give a lot of arguments and logic to say why God is not there. These are the basic, the things, how it builds up. Now, so many people say so many things that whatever they are doing in the Vedic things, they are all illogical, irrational, all kind of logic they use. So one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada actually quotes Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami brings out a point from Vishnu Puran, where Sri Maitreya is asking a question to Parashara Muni. Maitreya Muni is asking a question to Parashara Muni. He says, he asks, how are we to understand that Brahman, the Supreme Soul, is the executor of the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world, even though it is devoid of qualities, immeasurable, unembodied and free from any fault? So he's saying the Supreme Lord, being spiritual, he doesn't have any material qualities. He doesn't have a material body. He cannot be measured in a material sense. And he has devoid of all material qualities. Then how he can be the source or creation of this world? So this is like another type of question. Similarly, atheists, they say everything has come upon its own. There was no God, no creator. Similarly here, similar kind of question, he says, if the God is spiritual and has devoid of all material qualities, then how can he be the source? And while answering this question, he answered in a different way. In a very different way. And he says, Parashara Muni says, while answering, he says, mere logic cannot explain how even material objects expand their potency. He says, what to speak of spiritual being creating a material world? Even within the material world, there are certain expansions and creation which cannot be explained by logic. Because atheist always takes shelter of logic and argument. So that very shelter, Parashara Muni is smashing. They take shelter of logic and arguments to prove how God is not there. And Parashara Muni here is smashing the basis that the logic is actually not something to be brought about while discussing about the Lord. He's saying, what to speak of a spiritual being is the creator of material world. Even within the material world, there are expansions which cannot be explained by logic. And he says like this, mere logic cannot explain how even material objects expands their potency. These things can be understood by mature observation. The absolute truth expands its potency in the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material world, just as fire expands its potency of heat. So this is the answer he gave. But to understand, one particular, the second line especially in this answer is very emphatic, that These things can be understood by mature observation. What we observe is always superficial, and therefore we bring logic and arguments. But anybody who is maturely observing things, you will see that logic and arguments are not actually everything. And to Prabhupada expands this particular explanation in his purport, he says, logical statements are important or effect of potency is important. These are the two things we are going to discuss. Whether logic is important or effect of a potency is important. I will explain what these two things are. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that one can understand the power of a valuable gem not by logical statements but by observing the effect of the gem. So what is mature observation? There are some mystical gems which can give some effect. How it gives the effect is important, or the effect is important? That is the question. Similarly, he says, one can understand the potency of a mantra by observing its power to achieve a particular effect. So mantras are basically a combination of words. And if you try to understand what is the logic behind the mantra, you cannot find any logic. But if you observe maturely, that when you recite the mantras properly, and you can observe the effect. And that is more important than the logic behind it. There is actually no logic behind it. Just like, say there are nowadays people use passwords for computer programming, isn't it? They use password. Now password is just a word. There is no logic behind it. Suppose there is a bomb somewhere and the password is Hiranyakashipu. Suppose. So unless you know the password, you cannot explode it. So the effect of the bomb comes when you know the right password or the mantra. And there is no logic for it. But the effect is powerful. Similarly, here it is said, there is no logical necessity for a seeds growing into a tree and giving fruits that nourish the human body. One may argue that the genetic code for the entire tree is contained within the seed, but there is no logical necessity for the existence of this seed, nor for the seeds expanding itself into the gigantic tree. What it means is, the seed is there, and one may know how genetically it is coded, and how the genetics unfold itself, and the seed expands to a tree. One may understand that. But that cannot give why the seed is there and how it expands to the tree. It cannot answer. There is no logical necessity for the existence of the seed, nor for the seeds expanding itself into gigantic. Why it expands? Who can answer? Okay, how the genes are acting like this? It is expanding. But why it expands in the first place? Why it is there? So a mature person, he tries to observe like this. He does not just see something happening, okay, and the color is changing and things are happening, and therefore I know everything. That is not the way to understand. Therefore, atheists actually, they take shelter of these false arguments so that they can enjoy. That is the way the atheists behave. Then Prabhupada says, after the manifestation of the wonderful material nature, the foolish material scientist traces out the expansion of the seed's potency in an apparently logical sequence or events. So after it has happened, how it is happening, this logical sequence, they just note it down. And then they say, there is no God. Doesn't make any sense. But there is nothing within the realm of so-called pure logic that dictates the seed should expand into a tree. So what we have to observe is the effect of the potency of the seed that give rise to the tree. Rather, such expressions should be understood by the potency of the tree, not the logic. Logic is not important here. What is important here is the potency. There is a potency and it is having an effect. Similarly, the potency of the jewel is its mystic power. And various mantras also contain innate potencies. The potency is there in the mantra itself. There is no logic behind it. Just like Prabhupada says, ultimately the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It has a potency to transfer one to the spiritual world of bliss and knowledge. So the mantra has its potency. Prabhupada says the mantra is not just a combination of words. Sometimes people chant mantra to focus their mind, but if they chant Hare Krishna, it is still okay. But to just focus mind, you can recite any word again and again. Just like Prabhupada used to say, you can chant Coca-Cola many times, but ultimately you cannot do it, because this combination of words has no potencies. It may have potencies to take you from your room to a shop where Coca-Cola is available. It has that much potency and make you spend some money. But apart from this, it has no more potencies. But when you chant Hare Krishna, it has the potencies to transport us from here to the spiritual realm. That is its potency. This is not just a combination of words. One who chants Hare Krishna sincerely, he can feel his heart being clenched. And that is its potencies. Otherwise, nothing in this world, any ordinary combination of words in this world, can actually make us understand who we are and why we are suffering. But this Mahamantra has that potencies. So therefore, Prabhupada says, in the same way, the absolute truth has the natural quality of expanding itself into innumerable varieties of material and spiritual worlds. So the Supreme Being has its natural potency, and by this potency it expands and manifests different things. And there is no logic behind it. So therefore, basically the atheists, they take shelter of logic and arguments, but basically it is all, they create it to enjoy themselves. Their idea is to basically enjoy, and anything that comes against it, they have to find some means to defy it. So, and atheist activities are different types of atheist. Prabhupada mentioned at various places, so I've just noted them down. The first atheist, as I just mentioned, is like gross sense gratifier. He just want to enjoy. Prabhupada says, similarly, in modern society, there are many so-called God-fearing people who are actually attracted to demonic existence. Such persons become enlivened with the setting of the sun. When the sun sets, they become very enlivened. They look fresh. And they look effulgent. They look very happy, enlivened, when the sun sets. And what do? They go out in the darkness to enjoy life in restaurants, nightclubs, disco clubs, hotels, and so on, which are simply meant for illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Then there are those, this is one type, like the gross sense gratifier. And the other is they defy God and His laws, declaring themselves atheists and demons. Some are openly declare, we don't believe in any God, God is dead, things like that. So both the covert and the overt enemies of the Lord constitute an unholy burden for the earth. And Lord Krishna descends to expertly remove these burdens. So these are one types of atheists. The other purpose is that the demigod worshippers. One may engage in performing sacrifices and severe austerities for perfection, but they are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If such activities are performed for personal satisfaction, one is ill-formed and passed under. He is atheist. So all the demigod worships, if it is performed for personal satisfaction or personal gain, then it is atheism. The point is, in all circumstances, one has to recognize the Supreme Lord and His supreme position as the enjoyer, as the proprietor, and everything. If that thing is missing, no matter who is, whatever position, he can be termed as atheist. Then there is Mayavad philosophy. Prabhupada says, the Mayavad philosophy sees everything as being equal in equality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, sees everything as worshipable. So Mayavadi says everything is worshipable, everything is God. That means they are defying the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is also atheism. This dangerous theory of Mayavad school has turned people in general towards atheism. They end up defying God because everything is God for them. So this is how people throughout the world in various ways is actually suffering from atheism or its effect. And those who are innocent Actually, nobody is innocent because everybody has come to enjoy here in one sense. But to sincerely trying to understand his position, why he is suffering and wants to come out of it, they can be easily misled by all these kind of atheistic people, propaganda. Therefore, we can understand and appreciate Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that how he has actually given us this so nice gift of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, by studying which we can understand our real position and gradually trying to become devotee of the Lord and not an atheist. But even while trying to become devotee of the Lord, one may still be victim of this atheism. This can be called subtle atheism. Lord Brahma, in his Brahma Viman Lila in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how Lord Brahma got bewildered by Krishna's pastimes. And he mistook Krishna to be an ordinary man, and that is also atheism in one sense. Because Krishna says in Gita, Abhajanati Mam Moodha Manusim Tanum Asrita, that those who are foolish, they think that I am an ordinary human being. But if you actually see Krishna's pastimes, right from the day he adventured, actually he came in appeared in a jail in the dark night when everybody was sleeping. But although he appeared in the jail, he actually came to liberate us who are bonded to this material world. And he showed it by instructing Vasudev to took him to the from Mathura to Vrindavan, how he went, how the locks were opened, doors were opened, there was heavy rain, but still he passed on without being wet. He passed through Yamuna. And he killed so many demons in Vrindavan. He left at Govardhan. And he helped Arjuna in Mahabharata. So many pastimes he performed. But still, atheistic people cannot accept that he is God. They try to prove in so many ways, so many logics, so many arguments, so many points they try to point out to say how Krishna is not God. But when one does like that, he is actually is unfortunate. And here Lord Brahma, he was observing the pastimes of Lord in Vrindavan, but suddenly he got swayed by this idea that Krishna might be an ordinary child. And this doubt erupted in his mind. And instead of solving this doubt by approaching, say, other devotees, or so many personalities, Narada Muni was there, Vyasadeva was there, of course Brahma is the topmost among them, is the most senior person in that sense. But he could ask Krishna directly also. But instead he tried to test it. And he tried to spell some illusory maya on Krishna by stealing the calves, by stealing the cowherd boys. He was playing some trick. But anyway, Krishna is Yogeshwar. He is the mystic of all mystics. He could easily understand the whole ploy and immediately adjusted thing in such a way that Brahma got bewildered. Later he repented and was asking forgiveness. And in his last verse, he says that may I never be swayed like this again. And Prabhupada says in the purport that here Lord Brahma indirectly states that Lord Krishna should remove Brahma's own subtle atheism, which had led him to try to exert illusory power over Lord Krishna. He tried to exert illusory power over Lord Krishna, and that is subtle atheism. So subtle atheism basically, like when a person is young and going to school newly, he has all these idealistic hopes that he will be a good man in the future and he will save the whole country or the world. That kind of thoughts are there in young men. But as they grow, they don't know inside them all these bad qualities are also living, and they come up and then they become a politician or a competitor in his office, or wherever they go, all these envious expressions come up. They become corrupt, basically. We have seen so many people. They grow up in college with good ideas, good ideals, but later we see them ending up in corrupt situations. Many of them. Similarly, we want to become devotees. We come with the idea that becoming good devotees, it is said, one devotee joins newly, is very humble, submissive, and serves very nicely because he doesn't have all these subtle desires have not manifested in one sense. So one is gross, to enjoy directly sense gratification. It is also called lust. There is a lust. Lust can be gross or it can be subtle. So it is explained by the acharyas. The gross lust is sex life. But the subtle is profit, adoration and distinction that the mind wants. So one may say, actually both are dangerous. But more dangerous is the subtle one, because it's like attack from within. It is like attack from within. Suppose you are eating something, taking prasad. Suppose some bitter thing comes, or some the salt is not there, something is wrong. Then you can blame somebody outside. You can chastise. But while eating, when you bite your own tongue, you cannot say anything. You cannot blame anyone. Because it is you, yourself involved. And that happens. Similarly, this subtle desire for distinction, adoration and profit is so dangerous that it is cripples a devotee from within. And he cannot grow. Therefore, although Brahmaji was aware to some extent that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but somehow or other this idea creep in that he might be an ordinary and I am more powerful. So therefore devotees, while performing their sevas, while growing, we should be able to check these subtle attacks from within. How that is possible? In this, it is explained that previously Hiranyakashipu was a demon 100%. And he was openly declared that he is enemy. And the Lord was there, actually appeared to fight with him. And he fought and destroyed. But in the age of Kali, both devotee and demon are sitting within the same heart. Like the story, it is explained, like Ramaswamy was explaining the other day, how one grandfather is telling a story to the grandson. And grandfather is telling, you know, there are now two dogs inside my stomach and they are fighting fiercely. One is good dog with having all good qualities. He is faithful, he is loyal, he is submissive. The other is bad dog. He is hateful, he can bark at anyone, he can bite anybody. He wants to drag everyone down. So these are like two dogs are fighting fiercely. Naturally the grandson was very inquisitive. So he asked, who is winning? And the grandfather said, the one I am feeding. If I feed the good dog, it will become strong and it will defeat the bad dog. But if I feed the bad dog, then it will be strong and overcome the good one. And as we know, in the pastime of Jagai Madhai, Lord Chaitanya actually appeared to destroy Jagai or Madhai, one of them. He was about to kill. But Nityananda Prabhu actually hold his feet and very, very honestly requested, please don't kill, because if you kill him, then you have to kill practically everyone, because everybody is a demon in this age. So therefore, rather than killing, you should save him. So in this same way, you can see that these two kinds of bad qualities and good qualities are there in every one of us. So not only you have to feed the good qualities, but also have to take shelter of Gaur Nithai, basically. Especially Nityananda Prabhu. And in this says, when a person, Prabhupada says, that demons should therefore be careful and curtail their godless civilization. That means we have to feed the good dog. They should take advantage of Krishna consciousness movement, second point. First, we have to curtail demonic activities. That means we have to strengthen the good qualities within us. And second, we should take advantage of Krishna consciousness movement. That means we have to take shelter of lotus feet of Gaur Nithai. In this way, if one is taking advantage of the situation, then actually he will start appreciating Krishna in his life. Otherwise, to appreciate Krishna is not easy. unless the sense gratificatory attitude completely goes, we can really understand Krishna. We cannot really appreciate Krishna. Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual stuff. We cannot understand spiritual thing with a material veil. It's not possible. It takes us away. Supreme. Otherwise, they are doomed. Otherwise, they are means the demoniac population of this world. As Hiranyakashipu was killed in a second, the godless civilization can be destroyed at any moment. So therefore, we can understand how in this time and age that everybody is practically atheistic and affected by atheism in so many different ways, and there are no solution but to take shelter of Krishna consciousness movement, chant Hare Krishna, study scriptures nicely, and then gradually and by strengthening our good qualities, we can become pure devotees of the Lord. Otherwise, it is very difficult. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Are there any questions? I have 5 minutes. Comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanande.